Chapter 10. There was a single schoolroom to accommodate the youngest upwards of both sexes. Double desks. On the walls a few maps, a large set of multiplication tables, and a picture of Queen Victoria. From the dais, Mr. Anthony Clarke surveyed his new pupils. There was a hushed anticipation. One of the girls giggled nervously, and Mr. Clark's eyes sought the sound, but it stopped before he found it.
"It is my unfortunate duty to attempt your education," he announced.
He wasn't joking. Long ago his sense of vocation had been swamped by an intense dislike for the young. Now he taught only for the salary.
"It is your no more pleasant duty to submit to this with all the fortitude you can muster," he went on, looking with distaste at their shining faces.
"What's he saying?"
whispered Sean without moving his lips.
"Shh,"
said Garrick. Mr. Clark's eyes swiveled quickly and rested on Garrick. He walked slowly down the aisle between the desks and stopped beside him. He took a little of the hair that grew at Garrick's temple between his thumb and forefinger and jerked it upwards. Garrick squeaked, and Mr. Clark returned slowly to his dais.
"We will now proceed. Standard ones, kindly open your spelling books at page 1. Standard twos, turn to page 15.
He went on allocating their work.
"Did he hurt you?"
breathed Sean. Garrick nodded almost imperceptibly, and Sean conceived an immediate and intense hatred for the man. He stared at him. Mr. Clark was a little over 30 years old, thin, and his tight three-piece suit emphasized this fact. He had a pale face, made sad by his drooping moustache, and his nose was upturned to such a degree that his nostrils were exposed. They pointed out of his face like the muzzle of a double-barreled shotgun. He lifted his head from the list he held in his hand and aimed his nostrils straight at Sean. For a second they stared at each other. Trouble, thought Mr. Clark. He could pick them unerringly. Break him before he gets out of control.
"You! Boy, what's your name?"
Sean turned elaborately and looked over his shoulder. When he turned back, there was a little colour in Mr. Clark's cheeks.
"Stand up."
"Who?
Me?"
"Yes, you." Sean stood.
"What's your name?"
"Courtney."
"Sir?"
"Courtney, sir." They looked at each other. Mr. Clark waited for Sean to drop his eyes, but he didn't. "Big trouble. Much bigger than I thought," he decided, and said aloud,
"All right, sit down."
There was an almost audible relaxation of tension in the room. Sean could sense the respect of the others around him. They were proud of the way he had carried it off. He felt a touch on his shoulder. It was Anna. The seat behind him was as close as she could sit to him. Ordinarily, her presumption would have annoyed him, but now that small touch on his shoulder added to his glow of self-satisfaction. An hour passed slowly for Sean. He drew a picture of a rifle in the margin of his spelling book, then rubbed it out carefully. He watched Garrick for a while until his brother's absorption with his work irritated him.
"Swat,"
he whispered, but Garrick ignored him. Sean was bored. He shifted restlessly in his chair, looked at the back of Carl's neck. There was a ripe pimple on it. He picked up his ruler to prod it. Before he could do so, Carl lifted his hand as if to scratch his shoulder, but there was a scrap of paper between his fingers. Sean put down the ruler and surreptitiously reached for the note. He held it in his lap. On it was written one word, mosquitoes. Sean grinned. Sean's imitation of a mosquito was one of the many reasons why the previous schoolmaster had resigned. For 6 months, old Lizard had believed there were mosquitoes in the room. Then, for the next 6 months, he had known there were not. He had tried every ruse he could think of to catch the culprit. And in the end, it had got him. Every time the monotonous hum began, the tick in the corner of his mouth became more noticeable. Now, Sean cleared his throat and started to hum. Instantly, the room was tense with suppressed laughter. Every head, including Sean's, was bent studiously over a book. Mr. Clark's hand hesitated in writing on the blackboard, and then went on again evenly. It was a clever imitation. By lowering and raising the volume, Sean gave the effect of an insect moving about the room. A slight trembling at his throat was the only sign that he was responsible. Mr. Clark finished writing and turned to face the room. Sean didn't make the mistake of stopping. He allowed the mosquito to fly a little longer before settling. Mr. Clark left his dais and walked down the row of desks furthest from Sean. Once or twice he paused to check the work of one of his pupils. He reached the back of the room and moved across to Sean's row. He stopped at Anna's desk.
"It is unnecessary to loop your L's like that," he told her. "Let me show you." He took a pencil and wrote. "See what I mean? To show off when writing is as bad as showing off in your everyday behaviour."
He handed her back her pencil, and then, pivoting on one foot, he hit Sean a mighty crack across the side of his head with his open hand. Sean's head was knocked sideways, and the sound of the blow was very loud in the quiet room.
"There was a mosquito sitting on your ear," said Mr. Clark.